The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of its host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. This is Buffett and Beyond with Dr. J.B. Farwell, the world's premier radio broadcast based on the investment methodology of the greatest investor of all time, Warren E. Buffett. Dr. J.B. Farwell is a renowned investment strategist, market thinker, and author of the leading book on stock selection, Buffett and Beyond. A veteran of the financial industry for more than 30 years, Dr. Farwell has developed groundbreaking investment strategies for professional money managers and continues to serve as a university professor. Stay tuned for cutting-edge insight that will help you to develop consistency, predictability, and unparalleled success in your investment portfolio. Now, Buffett and Beyond. Here's Dr. J.B. Farwell.
Another happy investment day to all you Buffett fans, Buffett devotees, and Buffett aficionados out there in investment land. Welcome to Buffett and Beyond, the only program out there designed to help you select stocks in the same way as Warren Buffett, the world's greatest investor ever. Ah, yes, folks, if you want to live like Jimmy Buffett, you've got to learn how to invest like Warren Buffett. And right here on the Buffett and Beyond show, we'll teach you how to invest like Warren. But sorry, folks, you're going to have to figure out the living part all by yourself. Hi, folks. This is your host, J.B. Farwell, along with Debbie and the questions she has from our listeners out there in investment land. And I just want to let you know, folks, that we are now, you can listen to us every day at the same time slot, 5 to 5:30. Last year we were on in different time slots, and we had an hour show, we had a half hour show, and now we're going to be on for a half hour every day at this, every weekday at this same time. And so Debbie is here with our questions, and don't forget our final segment, which you want to listen to, because we summarize with our good, bad, and ugly wrap-up of the stocks on today's program, and we find out if today's stocks should be in your portfolio, somebody else's portfolio, or nobody's portfolio. And folks, it's so important to keep those stocks out of your portfolio that are just terrible stocks, because they can hurt you bad, and you don't want to be hurt. All right, so you don't want to miss any of this great information, so stay with us, folks, right up to the very end of the show, and a half hour goes by very quickly. We'll go over six or seven stocks. Okay, but first, most of you know that we use a stock selection methodology here at Buffett and Beyond Research that was developed by the accounting profession a very long time ago because there was no method of predictability of future earnings for the investing world. And the accounting profession recognized this. And we dug the very beginning of this method out of the dusty cellars of Nova Southeastern University. And from that, we have a PhD dissertation on it. We have a book on it. We have several published articles on it. And because of the system, we set parameters for stock selection, because why would you do all that research unless you can make money out of it? So we set the parameters for stock selection method, and while performing extensive research on it, we were very happily surprised to discover that this system was used by the great one himself, Warren E. Buffett, who is without a doubt the world's greatest investor ever, worth about $59 billion, which ain't hey, folks, even in these days of inflation, and we look at what Congress is spending. Congress would take several days to spend what Warren Buffett has made over his lifetime. All right, rather than going into the workings of the system, that can be found in my book, Buffett and Beyond, and also on my website, buffettandbeyond.com. Remember, folks, Buffett is spelled with two F's and two T's, A-N-D, and is spelled out, A-N-D, so it's buffettandbeyond.com. And you just have to know that this method, known as clean surplus, stands for comparable profits. And comparable means that we must standardize certain numbers on the income statement and balance sheet in order to be able to compare stocks in the same simple manner as we compare one bank's return on our deposits against any other bank. Now, folks, we will do all that number crunching here for you, and you will see it in the newsletter, the free newsletter. Go to our website and order that, or call us at 561-906-6300. Again, 561-906-6300, and we'll get that special report and the free newsletter out to you. Then you can see the numbers that we're talking about, and folks, it will change. I guarantee it will change your way of looking at stocks. I guarantee this, or else I'll take you to lunch if you don't feel happy with it. All right, just before we get to Debbie and our stock questions sent in by you listeners, I want to repeat what I just said, because it is without a doubt the single most meaningful thought to ever come out of the investment profession. Again, clean surplus is the only method. Clean surplus means comparable profits. It is the only method that allows us to compare stocks to one another in the same way as we compare the interest earned on a bank account from one bank to another. All right, think how simple it is for your banks. Bank A is paying us 10%, Bank B is paying us 5%. Where are you going to put your money? End of story. If you leave that 10% in the bank, the 10% that you own, if you reinvest it in the bank, your bank account is going to grow 10% per year. Folks, if we can compare stocks in this manner, and we can, then we will know approximately how much a stock will grow year after year into the future, because we are long-term investors. We are not traders. Either you're trading every day or you're investing for the long term. Anything in between gets you in trouble. All right, think about this. If you think about it, the rate of interest a bank pays us is really a return on equity, or ROE. So if you make $10 in a year, that is your return. If you started the year out with $100 that you put in the bank on which to earn that $10, the $100 is your equity. The return of $10 divided by the $100 equity is a return on equity. And clean surplus allows us to compare stocks in this very, very same manner. So it's very simple, folks. Once you see the numbers, we do all the number crunching for you because it is kind of complicated. And that's it from here, folks. Okay, so we're going to get on to Debbie. Debbie, what's our first question?
Hello, JB. One of our lady listeners called and asked how your favorite retail stores did this past year. She'd like to know specifically about Coach stores, which you've gone over in the past, Ross stores, also Bed Bath & Beyond. And she wants to know that after you spoke about what a great stock MasterCard was, that she said she went out and bought the stock in MasterCard and had some money left over for holiday spending, so she went to Bed Bath & Beyond. And she spent so much that now she wants to know if she should go out and buy stock in Bed Bath & Beyond, or is this one of those instances where you can buy the merchandise but don't touch the stock?
Well, folks, okay, she wants to know about Coach, Ross Stores, and Bed Bath & Beyond. So let's look at Coach and let's look at Bed Bath & Beyond, and then we'll go from there, because these are good stocks, folks. So Coach, for those of you who don't know, that stock symbol is COH, and it designs and markets accessories and gifts for women and men in the United States and internationally. See, there's that international theme that we've spoken about. It primarily offers handbags, women's and men bags, accessories, business cases, footwear, wearable, jewelry, sunwear, and on and on and on and on. The company operates stores in North America, Japan, Hong Kong, Macau, and mainland China. And it also sells through the internet. All right, Bed Bath & Beyond. I think most of you know that store by now. And that stock symbol is BBBY. Okay, three B's and a Y. Bed Bath & Beyond is kind of an upscale store. And by upscale, I mean things cost more, better products. Okay, together with its subsidiaries, operates a chain of retail stores, which we know. It sells a range of domestic merchandise such as bed linens and related items, bath items, and kitchen textiles and home furnishings. And let's look at the numbers on those two stocks, folks. And Coach, now remember, we want to fill our portfolios with stocks that have ROEs higher than the average stock in the S&P 500. And the average stock in the S&P 500 has a 13.5% ROE. So in order to outperform the S&P 500, we have to put stocks in our portfolio that are growing faster than the average stock. Coach has a ROE of 23%, and it has been fairly consistent over the years. And it's been in our portfolio. And our portfolio has stocks that are 20% or greater in our portfolio. So Coach is in our portfolio for a long time, and it has a five-year return of 75% and a one-year return of 11%. So Coach is good. Bed Bath & Beyond has a 19% return. It had been in the 20s. It has just fallen, but it's still there at 19%. Its five-year return is 60%, a little less than Coach, and the one-year return is 25%. So it's been doing pretty good. So, folks, both of these stocks are pretty good companies. Coach pays a 1.4% dividend, and the price right now for Coach, this is Coach now, is $62 a share. And if you bought it at this price, it would return you about 19% per year. But the ROE, and this is just an indication of how we use the ROE is at 23%. We want this stock to be able to grow at 23%. So we have to purchase that at a price a little below $62. But if you buy it here, you're going to get about a 19% return, which ain't too bad. Bed Bath & Beyond is $62 as we speak, the same as Coach. And if you bought it here, it's fairly priced. You would get about a 20% return over the next 5 to 10 years if you can keep that ROE up, folks. So there we have it. Two good companies, both very good. Yeah, you can go out and buy these babies. All right, folks, we're up against the break, and we'll see you on the other side.
This is the special report you've been waiting for. If you want to see the comparable numbers on all the stocks analyzed in this radio program since the beginning of January 2011, in one place, at one time, just go to the Buffett and Beyond site and order the free newsletter. Everyone. Yes, everyone on the monthly newsletter list will also receive a special quarterly report, which lists all the stocks you hear about right here on the Buffett and Beyond radio show. These reports categorize all the stocks as to which stocks should be in your portfolio, which stocks should be in someone else's portfolio, and which stocks should not be in anybody's portfolio. Yes, folks, this ongoing special report is free and updated quarterly so that you may take control of your own investing destiny and achieve results way beyond the averages. Just go to BuffettandBeyond.com and order your free newsletter. And both the monthly newsletter and special quarterly report will be sent to you immediately. Remember, it's BuffettandBeyond.com.
Hi, folks. We're back, and we have another question from Debbie. Debbie, please tell us what we have on our list there.
Alrighty, JB. Jamie emailed us and said that since Warren Buffett bought a 5.5% stake in IBM, she was wondering, should she buy some of this stock? And while also wondering if it's a good entry point to buy this bluest of blue chip stocks.
Okay. Yeah. And also Hewlett Packard was in the news several weeks before the holidays. And so let me go over those two stocks so we can compare them and see if IBM is a good stock to buy or is this the right price to buy it. All right. Let's do Hewlett Packard first. That stock symbol is HPQ, Hewlett Packard. And Hewlett Packard provides computing and imaging solutions and services to consumers and businesses. I'm sorry, web services to consumers and businesses, including customers in the government, health, and education sectors. Its operations are organized into 7 segments, and it goes on and on and on. It has about 324,000 employees out of Palo Alto, California. It's a big company, folks. And IBM, that stock symbol is IBM, of course, a worldwide supplier of advanced information processing technology, communication systems, services, and program products. Global technology services, 38% revenues. Global businesses services, 18%. Software, 23%. 426,000 employees out of Armonk, or headquartered in Armonk, New York. So these are two huge companies, folks. Now, none of it does any good unless we look at, and you know what? I want to throw NetTap in there because somebody asked us about that, and I just forgot to go over it, but it's in the same computer peripherals industry. So Hewlett Packard, IBM, and NetTap, and that's spelled N-E-T-A-P-P. NTAP is the stock symbol, formerly Network Appliance. So that's where Network Appliance went. It's called NetTap now. Leading provider of systems, software, and services for storing, managing, protecting, and archiving business data. 11,000 employees. So it is about 1/30th the size of Hewlett Packard and about 1/40th the size of IBM. All right, let's look at the numbers because, folks, the numbers tell us absolutely everything about a company. And remember, we want to fill our portfolios with stocks that have ROEs higher than the average stock. And the average stock gives us a return on equity of 13.5%. So when you think of the S&P 500, just think of bank account S&P 500 returning us 13.5%. We want to fill our portfolio with stocks that return more than 13.5%. All right, let's go to IBM. IBM has a 14% ROE, and it's been that consistent for the past 6 or 7 years. Before that, it had dropped from favor. It had an ROE down in 10%, like around 2002, 2003. And then it started that the ROE started increasing to 14%, and that's where it stays for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, folks. Now, over 5 years, it has had a 90% return, 1 year return of 29%. And it is priced at about $186 right now. We look at that ROE, folks, and this is so important. We look at that ROE, and if we buy that stock, if it's returning a 14% ROE, and it puts all that money back into the company, which IBM is not putting all the money back in because it pays a dividend of 1.8%, if we put, we would expect with a 14% ROE and a 2% dividend, we would expect that stock to grow about 12% per year. However, if we buy it now, it will return in appreciation about a 10% return. So in order to get that 14% return, in other words, total return, which is stock appreciation plus a dividend, we would want to see that price at about $150. Now, if you buy it here at $186, you're going to get about a total return of 12%, which would consist of a 2% dividend and about a 10% increase in stock appreciation. So IBM is ahead of itself, folks, here. Okay, Hewlett-Packard. Hewlett-Packard, that stock symbol is HPQ, and it has a 12% ROE, which means, folks, we would not buy it. We would not touch it. We would not look at it because it's growing slower than the average stock. And, folks, it's hard enough to get a positive return on your portfolio. Why buy a stock that's returning less than the average stock? Do not do it. NetApp, on the other hand, was a baby, and it was in our portfolio for many years. And this year, it has dropped from a 20% ROE to 19%. Now, our portfolios is that when a stock drops below that 20% level, we sell it. We get rid of it. And that's our sell criteria, folks. It's a fundamental sell. When a stock drops below that 20% ROE, those ROEs are slowing down. They're decreasing. And we want to get into a stock that has an ROE greater than 20%. So if NetApp has fallen below 20%, we'll sell it. It's still a good company. However, people are looking at that, and it's such a small company. If it makes a mistake, it's out of the ballpark, folks, or I should say out of the ball game. And it has a negative or a zero return over the past 5 years. So people can see that ROE declining. In other words, the rate of the growth of earnings is declining. So therefore, we would not touch NetApp. We would not touch Hewlett-Packard. And we're very questionable about IBM. We would not put it in our portfolio because it's really kind of a little bit above an average stock. So we have a little bit of problem on that. All right, folks, we're coming up against a break, and we'll see you right on the other side for our good, bad, and ugly segment.
Education. It's the greatest equalizer in the world. Dr. J.B. Farwell's must-read book entitled Buffett and Beyond sets a new standard for investing. Based on the clean surplus method used by Warren Buffett, the book is a combination of the fundamentals of investing and the principles of finance all rolled into one. It features a sound, cohesive strategy that can help you to consistently beat the averages. Financial experts across America call it a true addition to the field of investing and an extraordinary explanation of a proven investment strategy. Buffett and Beyond, the must-read for savvy investors. Get your copy online at www.buffettandbeyond.com. That's buffettandbeyond.com. Or call 561-906-6300. And for those of you with iPads and Kindles, your ebook costs just $9.95. You will also receive a free email version of updates and continuing research, which when added to the information in the book, will give you all the information you need to fully understand the Buffett and Beyond concept of portfolio development. Remember, just go to www.buffettandbeyond.com.
The good.
Stocks that should be in our portfolio.
The bad.
Stocks that should be in somebody else's portfolio.
And the very ugly.
Stocks that should be in nobody's portfolio.
Yeah, folks, keep those uglies out of your portfolio, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to give you good stocks to put in your portfolio, and even better than that, we'll tell you which stocks to keep out of your portfolio. Okay, Debbie, we have a question from another listener.
We do. One of our listeners had said that he caught just a bit of one of our shows a few weeks back, where you spoke about the two toy companies, Mattel and Hasbro. And just when you were on that he had to yell at another driver who stopped for a green light and got frustrated, blah, blah. He said,
blah, blah.
when it turned, blah, blah. So when it turned red, JB, this Will this listener's face be red if he bought these two toy stocks?
Well, folks, I just want to remind you before I go into these two toy stocks that our new time is 5 to 5:30 every weekday. So if you want to listen to us, 5 to 5:30, here we are every weekday. And the question was, should we buy these toy stocks? And we went over these two stocks just before the holiday. Because another listener, John, and I remember John because I talked to him at Lent on the phone, asked about these two companies because everybody was buying toys, 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 toys. That's all you hear about. And are these good companies? Okay. So the big toy companies we're going over are, of course, Mattel and Hasbro. And let's go over Mattel first. Mattel, stock symbol M-A-T. And Mattel is the largest U.S. toy maker. Brands and products are grouped into three categories, girls and boys, which include Barbie, Barbie's fashion and accessories, Polly Pocket, Hot Wheels, Tyco. Now you know where Tyco went, Matchbox, and Monster. And you know where Monster went. All right, Fisher-Price and Little People, or Fisher-Price Little People. Now you know where Fisher-Price went. Mattel bought them up. Dora the Explorer. Almost, my gosh, I almost forgot Dora. It acquired Tyco Toys in 97, and foreign sales are 46% of total sales, 31,000 employees out of Segundo, California. Hasbro, on the other hand, stock symbol HAS, Hasbro is one of the world's largest toy makers, manufactures and markets preschool, and it's called Play School, girls' toys, boys' action toys and games, Milton Bradley, Parker Brothers, now you know where they went. Core brands include G.I. Joe, Transformers. Yeah, that's that new movie that came out several years ago, and they keep coming out with more. Nerf, Tonka, and Monopoly. And you know where those companies went? They got bought up by Hasbro. Okay, acquired Waddington Games and puzzle assets of Western Publishing. International sales, 43% of sales. 5,000, almost 6,000 employees out of Pawtucket, Rhode Island. So Hasbro is about 1/6 the size of Mattel. I kind of like telling you the number of employees so we can get an idea of the size of the company. Now, remember, IBM has, what, 400,000 employees, and Mattel has 31,000. So you can see the size of these companies. All right, folks, let's look at the numbers. Now, remember, we want to fill our portfolios with stocks that have ROEs greater than 14% because we want to outperform the S&P 500. If we can do that, if we can do it over a 10-year period, we are ahead of 96% of the portfolio managers out there that manage the mutual funds that we all buy and put in our portfolios. So you see 96% of those mutual fund operators or portfolio managers cannot outperform the S&P 500. So our goal is to outperform the S&P 500 without having to invest in a mutual fund. End of story, folks. Nice and easy. All right. Mattel has an 11% ROE, and it's been rising, folks. However, it is still below the average stock and below our criteria of we want stocks in our portfolio that have ROEs of 20% or better. So it has an 11% ROE, and it has returned 16% in the past year. Hasbro, on the other hand, has a 15% ROE, so it's a touch better than average. And over the past 5 years, it has returned 55%, but was down 21% in the past year. So it got a little bit ahead of itself, folks. So both these companies pay 3.3% dividends, which means they're putting about a little over 50% back into the company to grow. So we would expect these companies to grow. Now I'm talking about stock appreciation of about, maybe 6% per year plus that 3% dividend. So the ROE of Mattel, which is about 11%, and if it pays out 3.3% dividend, we would expect that stock on average to appreciate 5 or 6%, 7% per year. Hasbro, we would expect to grow about 7% per year, and it has a dividend of 3.3%, so a total return of about 11, 12% per year. So you can see these companies are not growing the way we would think they should be growing, and I wouldn't put these in my portfolios, folks. Mattel is a below-average stock. Hasbro is an average stock. All right. Good, bad, and the ugly. What companies would we put in? Remember, we went over IBM. I wouldn't buy IBM for my portfolio. It's a very consistent company. Touch above average.
not in not a 20% ROE. It has a 14% ROE. Hewlett Packard, I wouldn't buy. It's a below average stock. NetApp, is coming down from its high ROE. So in a declining ROE and a very small company, I wouldn't buy it. We went over the retail industry with Coach and Bed Bath & Beyond. Both are good stocks, folks, so they are good. Coach and Bed Bath & Beyond are good. IBM is okay. Hewlett Packard, NetApp, no. Mattel and Hasbro, no. Okay, folks, we're up against the break, and we'll see you right on the other side.
Education. It's the greatest equalizer in the world. Dr. J.B. Farwell's must-read book entitled Buffett and Beyond sets a new standard for investing. Based on the clean surplus method used by Warren Buffett, the book is a combination of the fundamentals of investing and the principles of finance all rolled into one. It features a sound, cohesive strategy that can help you to consistently beat the averages. Financial experts across America call it a true addition to the field of investing and an extraordinary explanation of a proven investment strategy. Buffett and Beyond, the must-read for savvy investors. Get your copy online at www.buffettandbeyond.com. That's buffettandbeyond.com. Or call 561-906-6300. And for those of you with iPads and Kindles, your ebook costs just $9.95. You will also receive a free email version of updates and continuing research, which when added to the information in the book, will give you all the information you need to fully understand the Buffett and Beyond concept of portfolio development. Remember, just go to www.buffettandbeyond.com.
Hi, folks. We're back, and we have another question from Debbie. Debbie, shoot.
All righty, JB. Well, we had Sally emailed us through the website, and since she's not able to listen to our radio station, she's not within listening distance, but she does listen from her computer and said that she was in Office Depot last week and that it was doing such a great business, but she wants to know, since she always sees a lot of people in the store, could she use common sense and buy the stock, or is this a situation where you can buy the product but don't buy the stock?
Well, okay, Sally, that was. All right, Sally, we're going to talk about Office Depot. Let's throw Staples in there, and I have to include Xerox because I want you to stay away from Xerox. Okay, so let's look at Office Depot, Staples, and Xerox. And let me just read a little bit about what they do, just should any of you have, not been around, especially with Xerox. It has changed a little bit over the years. Office Depot first is one of the largest, world's largest suppliers of office products, almost 1,200 stores in North America, which is 43% of its sales. And as of last year, it sold office products to customers in 53 countries in North America, Europe, Asia, and Latin America. And folks, you know we'd like this overseas expansion. Let's look at Staples. Staples is one of the largest superstore chains in the U.S. The company sells various office supplies and services, business machines and related products, computers, related. In other words, it's like Office Depot. Okay. So, and they are all over the place. They have 2,200 stores, more than Office Depot. And they're in Canada, Belgium, Finland, Germany, the Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Sweden. I'm running out of breath here, folks. The United Kingdom, China, Argentina, Australia. And then we have Xerox, and Xerox develops, manufactures, markets, finances, and services a wide range of copiers, laser printers, and document publishing equipment. Foreign sales at 36% of revenues, 134,000 employees, so it's a big company out of Norwalk, Connecticut. All right, folks, we have got to look at the numbers, because all of that sounds nice, and we've been in the stores, and we shop their products. I'm not so sure. You can shop there, but don't buy their stock. And why? Okay, Staples has a ROE of 13%. Now, the average stock in the S&P 500 has an ROE of 13.5%. We want to fill, and think of bank account. Bank account, S&P 500 is returning you 13.5%. That's the average stock in the S&P 500. We want to fill our portfolios with stocks that have ROEs greater than 13%. And Staples, greater than 13.5%. Staples has a 13% ROE. And, folks, we wouldn't put it in our portfolio. It's not a better-than-average stock. Xerox, on the other hand, has a 5% ROE. Folks, this falls in the ugly category. And Office Depot has an ROE of zero. It is not making any money. Folks, I want you to stay away from these three stocks in the office supply. They are all in the office supply industry. So Staples is the closest stock to an average stock, and I wouldn't buy it. It's down 35% for the past year. Xerox is down 30%. Office Depot is down 60%. You don't want to be in stocks like that, folks. So this entire category is no-no. They are ugly stocks, especially Xerox and Office Depot. Stay away. Shop there. Don't buy their stock. All right, folks, we're up against a break, and we'll see you right on the other side.
This is the special report you've been waiting for. If you want to see the comparable numbers on all the stocks analyzed in this radio program since the beginning of January 2011, in one place, at one time, just go to the Buffett and Beyond site and order the free newsletter. Everyone. Yes, everyone on the monthly newsletter list will also receive a special quarterly report, which lists all the stocks you hear about right here on the Buffett and Beyond radio show. These reports categorize all the stocks as to which stocks should be in your portfolio, which stocks should be in someone else's portfolio, and which stocks should not be in anybody's portfolio. Yes, folks, this ongoing special report is free and updated quarterly so that you may take control of your own investing destiny and achieve results way beyond the averages. Just go to BuffettandBeyond.com and order your free newsletter, and both the monthly newsletter and special quarterly report will be sent to you immediately. Remember, it's BuffettandBeyond.com.
Hi, folks. We're back, and we have another question from Debbie. Debbie, shoot.
All righty, JB. A listener to the program said that about 6 months ago, she saw Cramer on TV, and he was touting that Salesforce.com, and he was so hot on the stock that she went out and bought more shares than she said she should have. And now, since the stock is down almost 30%, she says she's at her wit's end and wonders what she should do.
Well, folks, we went over this about 6 months ago after Cramer talked about it, and we looked in that industry because he was so hot on this. So I said, let me look it up and see if the Buffett and Beyond method is good with this stock. And we didn't like it, and we found something else in that same industry called Rackspace Hosting. And then also there's a company called Akamai. And let me go over these three stocks. Akamai provides services for the delivery of content and business processes over the Internet. The company operates the world's largest and most widely used on-demand distributed computing platform on more than 80,000 servers. Okay, folks, between you and me, I have no clue what that means. Let's go to Salesforce.com. Now, the numbers are going to show us everything, so it doesn't matter if we understand what they do or what they don't. I don't like things I don't understand, but let's look at the numbers. Salesforce.com, that stock symbol is CRM. CR as in Robert, M as in man, is a leading provider of on-demand customer relationship management services. It also offers a technology platform for customers and develops to build and run business application. The company's Salesforce services enable customers and subscribers to record, store, analyze, and share and act upon business data. 70 countries. We like that. Same with Akamai. 70 countries. Rackspace Hosting, and that symbol is RAX. And this stock came to us by one of our listeners. He emailed me and said, what do you think about this company? I had never heard of it before. But it operates in the hosting and cloud computing industry, providing information technology as a service and managing web-based IT system. It offers cloud servers, cloud files, and cloud sites. All right, folks. I don't know what all of that means. I do know the cloud is going to be very, very instrumental coming down the pike because, you know, those iPads and those notebooks and everything that you got out there now, they are too small to host all the programs that we like to use, like Word and Excel and some of our database programs. I know it's good for downloading books, et cetera, et cetera. But if you have an application that gets you into the Internet, which they all do, you are able to go to the cloud, which is some server out there someplace that allows you to work on the Excel and the word processing and then save those files to your your hosting instrument, whatever it is, the ebook or whatever you want to call, because they all have different names for them. So you can host your own files on your little in-hand computer, but the programs are someplace else and they call that the cloud. So that's what these companies are doing. All right, let's look at the numbers on Rackspace, Akamai, and Salesforce.com. Now remember, the average stock in the S&P 500 has an ROE, think of your bank account, think of bank S&P 500, has an ROE of 13.5%. Rackspace Hosting just started about 5 years or 4 years and projected for 2012. And it started out at a 9% ROE, which didn't even make us look at the stock, and now it's up to 21%. So it has an ROE that's increasing, and folks, it's doing something out there that's good. So Rackspace Holding has a 21% ROE projected for 2012. Akamai Technology has a 10% ROE, so we wouldn't even look at it. Salesforce.com last year for 2011 had a 0% ROE, and projected for 2012, a 6% ROE. So think about this. Rackspace Hosting, 21% ROE. Akamai, 10%. Salesforce.com, 6%. Akamai and Salesforce are falling in the ugly category, folks. We wouldn't touch those two stocks because they don't have ROEs greater than the average stock in the S&P 500. And if we're trying to do anything here, we're trying to outperform the S&P 500. Otherwise, just buy an index mutual fund. Rackspace Hosting has a 21% ROE for projected for 2012, and we are seriously looking at this for our portfolios, folks. Now, how have they returned over the past, 3 years, because Rackspace has only been around 3 or 4 years. Rackspace Hosting has a 750% return over 3 years, where Salesforce.com has a 200% return over 3 years. However, in the past year, Rackspace Holding has a 43% return, Akamai a negative 41%, and Salesforce.com a negative 20%. And this is what our caller is talking about. She bought it right at the high of the year in 2011, and now she's down, the stock is down 20% over the past year, but it's down 27% over the past 6 months. And this is why she's crying. Okay, now, we look at these stocks. They have good debt. Salesforce.com has too much debt. So that's another reason we wouldn't get into Salesforce.com. So out of this group, we kind of like Rackspace Hosting. It hasn't been around long enough. It has to get its feet wet. And that's the one we're looking at. Stay away from Akamai. Stay away from Salesforce. Okay, folks, we're up against the break, and we'll see you right on the other side.
Education. It's the greatest equalizer in the world. Dr. J.B. Farwell's must-read book entitled Buffett and Beyond sets a new standard for investing. Based on the clean surplus method used by Warren Buffett, the book is a combination of the fundamentals of investing and the principles of finance all rolled into one. It features a sound, cohesive strategy that can help you to consistently beat the averages. Financial experts across America call it a true addition to the field of investing and an extraordinary explanation of a proven investment strategy. Buffett and Beyond, the must-read for savvy investors. Get your copy online at www.buffettandbeyond.com. That's buffettandbeyond.com, or call 561-906-6300. And for those of you with iPads and Kindles, your ebook costs just $9.95. You will also receive a free email version of updates and continuing research, which when added to the information in the book, will give you all the information you need to fully understand the Buffett and Beyond concept of portfolio development. Remember, just go to www.buffettandbeyond.com.
The good.
Stocks that should be in our portfolio.
The bad.
Stocks that should be in somebody else's
and
portfolio.
And the ugly.
Stocks that should be in nobody's portfolio.
Hi, folks. We're up against the last segment of the show where we review all the stocks that we've had on the show and put them into three categories, good, bad, and ugly. And before we get to that, we have two more stocks to go over. So we'll go over those before we wrap up the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, Debbie, we have another question.
We do. We received a call from a brand new listener, Jim, who hails from Briny Breezes, Florida, and he wants to know about Intel and LSI Logic. He has both of them in his portfolio, and all he wants to know, JB, is if he should keep them, sell them, or even buy more.
Wow, this sounds like a buy, hold, or sell segment of the program, which some of the stock folks used to do a long time ago. Actually, they're still doing it today. And he wants to know about Briny Breezes. Doesn't that sound, what a pretty name that is. I'd love to live in a place named Briny Breezes. Anyway, that's his, that's Jim, right, Debbie?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he wants to know about Intel and LSI Logic. And folks, let's just go over these, because remember, Intel is now in the Dow 30, and of course it's in the S&P 500, and it was a hot stock some time ago, and we'll see if it's a good stock. We have to go over the numbers. All right, Intel is a leading manufacturer of integrated circuits. The markets served are primarily makers of personal computers, communications, industrial automation, military. Main product is microprocessors, notably the Pentium series. Remember, every time you got a new computer, it had a little sticker on it that said Pentium inside, or something like that. Anyway, foreign business is about 85% of its sales. Folks, we like that international stuff there. Yeah, that's the theme, because it's hard to expand into the United States once we've saturated the United States markets. So you really have to go overseas if you're going to grow. And we would rather buy U.S. companies investing overseas than directly overseas companies. Why? Because we like the accounting methods in the United States are the best any place in the world. So we want to know, we want real big companies, because if they should fail in one instance, they have enough money and enough manpower to be able to recoup, where a smaller company makes a mistake and they're in big trouble. All right. Intel has 82,000 employees out of Santa Clara, California. LSI Logic is not LSI Logic anymore. It's LSI Corporation. And that stock symbol is LS as in Sam, I as in I. Okay. LSI is a leader in the design, development, manufacturing, and marketing of high-performance integrated circuits and storage systems. So it's into storage, where Intel is not into that area. It primarily competes, and I'm talking about LSI, competes in the chip market with IBM, Philips, Texas Instruments, and Toshiba, and then it competes in the storage market with EMC, Hitachi, and Network Appliance. Sales by operations, semiconductor is 63% of its sales, and storage is 37%. It has 5,000 employees, so it's about 1/16th the size of Intel, and it's out of Milpitas, California, M-I-L-P-I-T-A-S, Milpitas, California. All right, so we're going over, we're comparing LSI with Intel, and should these be buy, sell, or hold? All right, now remember, we're using the ROE in a clean surplus condition, and we are looking for stocks that have ROEs better or higher than the average stock in the S&P 500, because think of your bank account. If your bank account is paying you 10% and you keep that money in your bank account, that bank account will grow 10% a year. And it's the same way with stocks, folks. So if we have a nice high ROE in a stock and it reinvests that money, we can expect that growth to follow the ROE. Let's look at what I'm talking about. Intel has a 16% ROE, and it's been fairly steady, a good steady company. And it pays a dividend of 3.7%. So that means it's only putting about 60% of what it makes back into the company in order to grow. So 16% ROE is higher than the average stock. So we like that. LSI Logic has a 9% ROE. Folks, it had been a good stock a million years ago, but now it has a 9% ROE. We would not get into that. We would not even look at that company because it has an ROE smaller or less than the average stock in the S&P 500. So why put a stock in your portfolio that is going to underperform over the long term? That's investing suicide, folks. Don't do that unless you consider yourself a trader, and I still wouldn't do it. So don't consider yourself a trader, folks, unless you're at the computer 8 hours a day, and then you'll find out real quick whether you're a good trader or not. Otherwise, you're a long-term investor. There's no in-between. Otherwise, you're going to hurt your portfolio. Okay, so Intel has to put a lot of money back into its company in order to maintain and in order to do research. We don't care for that, because that means if it's paid out a 3.7% dividend and it's reinvest, most of the money it reinvests has to go for research just to stay ahead of the pack, there's not that much room for growth. And let me give you an example. Over the past year, it has a 17% return. That's pretty good. LSI Logic has a negative 5% return. Over 5 years, Intel is up 35%. LSI Logic is down 35%. So you see, folks, that ROE in the clean surplus condition has a lot of meaning. So LSI Logic, no. Intel, yes. Okay, let's go over good and bad and the ugly before I get to one last segment. Intel is an okay stock. Rackspace Hosting is a new stock, but it looks pretty good. And the stocks that we would stay away from is most of the stocks we talked about today. Staples is an average stock. Xerox is an ugly stock. Office Depot is an ugly stock. Akamai is an ugly stock. Salesforce.com, Cramer Specialty. Remember, Cramer was a trader. Ugly stock. LSI, ugly stock. And Intel is an okay stock. So the only stock we talked about today that's worth looking at is Rackspace Hosting, and we'll keep an eye on that. It doesn't have a long enough history. All right, folks, so we just want to let you know that we run two portfolios here at Buffett and Beyond, an income portfolio, which is we feel is the best out there, and come visit us and you can see the returns. Our growth portfolio is among the top 4% in the nation, and come see our returns. And for those of you, we can put these two portfolios together. Let's say you're in the mid part of your investment life cycle, and we will combine the two portfolios to give you some growth and some income. Some of you want all income. You get in our income portfolio, and those you young'uns out there might want all growth, and you should, and that you should be in our growth portfolio because it's one of the best out there. All right, folks, that's about it for now. And remember, catch us the same time here every time on the weekdays, and we'll see you next time. Today was a good day. Tomorrow will be better.
Thank you for listening to Buffett and Beyond with Dr. J.B. Farwell. If you're ready to take the next step in your financial future, be sure and order the free newsletter and free special report. Predictability of earnings growth is the key to a great stock selection, and competitive advantage is the key to predictability. If you have questions you would like answered on the show or for personal portfolio application, contact Dr. J.B. Farwell through his website at www.buffettandbeyond.com. Remember, that's buffettandbeyond.com. And be sure to join us next time for more expert analysis with Dr. J.B. Farwell at Buffett and Beyond, or go to the Buffett and Beyond website for all our past shows. That's www.buffettandbeyond.com.